Ramsey TV.
I've discovered a new club. I've discovered a new club, and it's called the Pee Wee Club. It's existed, but it just didn't have a name. I gave it a name today. Hi, everyone. Martin Zender. Swigging olive oil for you. How many calories here? 120 calories in one tablespoon. I'm probably only getting an eighth of a teaspoon there. Not too concerned about calories anyway. The Pee Wee Club. It's the Please Extend This Wicked Eon Club. P-E-W-E. Please Extend Wicked Eon. No, it's not Pewa. I know it should have two E's, but just consider them to be long E's. The Pee Wee Club. Please Extend This Wicked Eon. We've been talking about an article called The Era Is Limitless, in which our friend Clyde Pilkington once is pretty happy to think about this eon going on further, more of it, because it's an era of grace. Well, I have some new information about this. I've thought of this, and I'm going to change the way I've been talking about this era of grace, because I no longer believe it to be an era of grace. I think that calling it an era of grace is misleading. And this is the big revelation today. You're actually getting a new revelation today. And en route to the new revelation, I am going to introduce to you a member of the Pee Wee Club. And I didn't find this out until I was watching this morning again the video I made with Matthew Holland about the possibility of Christ returning in the fall of 2027. Martin Zender's setting a date. No, I'm not. I'm setting a season and a year. I'm setting a season and a year, not a date. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, but he didn't say nobody knew the season or the year. And in fact, in the same context where he said nobody knows the day or the hour, he encouraged his disciples to take note of the seasons. So I'm watching that video again. I'm going to link you to it down here. If some of you haven't seen it, look at that video. It's really pretty cool, pretty exciting. And I noticed comments from a guy named Stan Duncan. And he's probably watching this video and he's freaking out. He's like, oh no, Martin's mentioned my name. What's going to happen next? Well, he made a public comment, and so I feel at liberty to read it. He made a public comment on that video that I made 3 months ago with my friend Matthew Holland. I think the name of it is Could the Lord Return in 2027? Something like that. Now, it seems to me, I don't know this for a fact, but it seems to me that the Stan Duncan, and I don't know this man that I know of, he seems to be taking his theology from Clyde. He seems to be a preterist, I mean, not a preterist, but an Acts 28er. And because he says things that go along with the Acts 28 thing, like, we can't look at prophecy, we shouldn't read prophecy, the era is not limited, you can't go by an early letter of Paul, such as 1 Corinthians, because it belongs to a previous era. We're now in a new era, and even a new administration. There's a mature body, that body of Christ expired, and therefore, and also, I think I'm finding out, going along with this, is this idea that we're in an era of grace. And I myself have probably said that in the past, and I want to correct that today, and that's going to be the revelation today. So I want to read the comment that Stan Duncan made 3 months ago. In fact, he made two comments in the same video. So he was quite excited by this video, but not in a good way. He was probably deflated and disappointed to learn that the return of Christ could be in 10 years, meaning that the tribulation would begin 7 years before that, meaning that we could be snatched away sometime in the next 3 years. Okay, this is what he says, and I'm going to read it verbatim. We're all living in the end times. Yes, it's our death in the next 20 years. I don't understand that sentence. It's not well constructed. But this one is quite telling. Why do we have to feel we have to be at the end of grace? Why not let this administrations of grace go on for 2,000 years? And he means go on for 2,000 years more, as I'm going to show you from the next quote. He says, why be selfish? Let others enjoy grace. Only time for it. Only time for it? Okay. Stan, I have nothing against you except everything you say here. But I have nothing against you personally because I don't know you. The fact that you're watching my videos means that you're a good guy. You're a smart guy because you're watching my show and you bared your theology here. And since you did it publicly, I feel free to comment on it, seeing as how you put it on my video. So let me look at this and see if I can use this to get some truth out of it that maybe I didn't even quite realize the extent of. But I do now after reading this comment and the one that I'm going to read following, which is also yours, Stan. Okay, we're all living in the end time. Yes, it's our death in the next 20 years. I'm passing on that. Why do we have to feel we have to be at the end of grace? As if someone's telling us, as if we have to be instructed that we should feel that this is the end of grace. As if someone has to present us with a tutorial and a PowerPoint presentation of why we should want this era to be over. Folks, we wake up in the morning hoping that this is the last freaking day we have to be on this planet. We wake up in the morning, we go to bed at night thinking, hoping that this is the last night we will have to go to bed in a body of mortality. We don't need to be told. Why do we have to feel? Why do we have to feel that we have to be at the end of grace? We don't have to feel that. We do feel it. Wait a minute, let me go back to here. Why do we have to feel we have to be at the end of grace? We don't have to. We can't help it. And by the way, this is not an era of grace. That's what I'm going to get to. Why not let Stan goes on, quote, why not let this administrations of grace go on for 2,000 years? Why be selfish? Yes, why should we hog up all the death, doom, destruction, starvation, rape, murder, terrorism, AIDS, nuclear war? Why should we hog all this up to ourselves? Why should we be so selfish as to hope this shit ends soon when millions more could be born to enter into this delicious environment of abuse, of murder, of sin, of abortion, of torture, of plague, famine, and pestilence? Yes, very selfish of us to keep all this wonderment to ourselves. Let others enjoy grace. Let others enjoy grace. Stan, you know how many people are enjoying grace right now? About 15 or 20, possibly 20. This starts to get to my point here, is that not many people know about grace. This is an era of the proclamation of the grace of God. That's different than saying it's an era of grace. It's not an era of grace. It's an era when the message of grace has been put into the mouths of very few heralds who are in the wilderness, like John the Baptist and Isaiah and Amos and Jeremiah and our Lord himself, crying out in the wilderness. But generally, I find, and I think you find the same thing, that people hate grace. This is not an era of grace. This is an era where grace is spit on. That's what happens in this era. And your statement is, why be selfish? Let others enjoy grace. You mean let others enjoy spitting on grace? You mean that for 2,000 more years, we could have more death, more torture, more disease every day so that another maybe 15 people can come to understand grace? Look, if God wants more people in the body of Christ, here's another thing. I don't understand this. The idea is that, well, let this era go on. Let it stretch out. Let this era where Paul's message is going out, let it go on, because then God can bring more members into the body of Christ, as if God needs 2,000 more years to get everybody in. I can just see God up there. Well, now I have I have to bring 2,000 more members into the body of Christ. I can't possibly bring more than one in a year, so I'm going to need 2,000 years. I need time. I need things to develop. I need to consider every single person, to go through my files, to do a profile on them. I must conduct interviews, and this all takes time. I have to go through the whole process of calling them. Oh boy, it's going to take a lot of time. I need 2,000 years to get these 2,000 people.
You know who the most successful evangelist in the world was? It was Jonah. Yes, Jonah went to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He hated the whole idea of it. It was practically involuntary. But he goes because he was swallowed by a giant fish. And he goes through the city of Nineveh saying, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Yes, he sounded just like Eeyore. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. It was the most uninspired pronouncement ever. And I think 20,000 people repented. The whole city fell on their faces, repented in sackcloth and ashes. So that's how quick God could call 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 people. Does God need another 50,000 people in the body of Christ? Great, I'll give him 5 minutes. I'll give him 5 minutes.
Oh, no, I can't do 5 minutes. What do you expect me to do? What do you think I am, God or something? I'll need at least 2,000 years. And that's only for 2,000 people. You want, oh my God. 20,000 people. Yeah, that was some day back there when Jonah was preaching. 20,000 people. That would take me at least, we need another 10,000 years of this eon for me to get that many people.
Stretch the eon to get more believers? As if time matters to God. As if, well, yes, we need to stretch it. Oh, we're asking a lot. The number of people in the body of Christ is finite. There is a last person who will come in. God already knows how many people there are, just like he knows the number of heartbeats that we have. He has destined everyone. He has appointed to each their days and their number of heartbeats. He knows how many people are in the body of Christ. The next member of the body of Christ could come in 2.5 minutes from now. I tend to believe, I have no scripture for this, but I think that when the last member of the body of Christ says, oh, I get it, boom, we're out of here. Boom, that's it. But that's not necessarily so. The last member of the body of Christ could say, oh, I get it, boom, they're in the body of Christ, but then God takes his leisure and waits another 3.5 weeks. I'm going to wait another 3.5 weeks here. I'm just going to enjoy a little bit the deliciousness of having finally completed that magic number. We got everybody in. There's not going to be one more member of the body of Christ. The finite number has been reached, and now I'm going to rest for 3.5 weeks and just kind of enjoy it, light a big cigar, and celebrate with my son and the angels that every member of the body of Christ has come in. Time is not a practical thing God needs. Well, we have to extend the era so God can get these people. That's how we operate. That's not how God operates. Back to Stan. I hope I'm not making you feel too bad, Stan. I'm just commenting on your comment. Why be selfish? Yes. Let others enjoy grace. Only time for it. I take it you mean that this is the only time for grace. But I want to read a verse that I've mentioned to you a couple times. This is not the only time for grace. In fact, this is a sucky time for grace. This is a very sucky time for grace. Because most people spit on grace. Even Christians spit on grace. Yes, they're enemies of the cross. We know this. Christians spit on grace. They don't want to hear that it's completely 100% Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world with no contribution on your part. Ooh, no contribution on your part? That kills their message, and they can't stand it. So they spit on grace. They don't even realize it. They think they're the champions of grace, but they're not. They're the spitters upon grace. So about 15, 20 people on the earth realize grace. Now, maybe a couple thousand, because you, my loyal listeners, of course, you understand what grace is. So, okay, let's say there's 2,000. How many people in the world right now? 8 billion? Is that how many? Is it 16 or 8? I don't know. What difference does it make at that point? The percentage of people who understand grace is less than 1/100 of 1%. It's just ridiculous. I could do the math, but I don't want to. I don't want to, because the math would suck. The math would be discouraging of the percentage. Let other people come into it. But that's not happening, because this is an era where grace is hated. And I'm going to tell you what Paul says about the era. Are we going to hear, are we going to consider what Clyde or what Stan Duncan have to say about this era? Or are we going to listen to Paul? This is not the only time for it. Yes, I'm going to go to that verse in Ephesians 2. Let's go to verse 6. Ephesians 2, 6. He loves us, Christ does, we also, being dead to the offenses and the sins. He vivifies us together in Christ. In grace are you saved, and rouses us together and seats us together among the celestials. That's a proleptic statement. In Christ, turning the page, that in the oncoming eons he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The oncoming eons. That is the time when grace is going to flourish and flower and be proclaimed and accepted in that day. Only time for it? No, Stan, it's not. And I really want to correct this. I'm trying not to make fun of this. I am astounded by it, and especially by the next statement. I'm really not astounded, but I'm very troubled by your next statement. And I hope that after I point out to you what it means, that you will retract it. Okay, so we know that then this is not the only era of grace. It is an acceptable time of salvation because there's a message of grace. So it's the message of grace that's going out. It's not an era of grace. That's a big difference. And I probably myself have termed this eon, this era, this administration, well, it is an administration of grace, but it's not an era of grace. Do you see the difference? An administration is people who are administering, because that's the root word there, something. And the something is now grace. So they're administering grace just as Moses administered law. We're administering grace. But just because we're administering it doesn't mean people like it. In fact, people hate it. The majority of the earth, 99.999%, hate grace, even Christianity, especially Christianity. So it is an era for salvation because of the right message going out. But the overall disposition of the population of the world is antagonistic to God. And I'm going to tell you what kind of era this is in a second. But for now, I'm going to go to Stan's second comment. And this was on the same video. Thank you, Lord, for this long administration of grace to us Gentiles. I can go along with that. He won't end it until he ready prophecy has nothing to do with it. Okay, wait, he won't end it until he's ready. Prophecy has nothing to do with it. Okay, I can agree with this. Prophecy has nothing to do with this particular administration of the grace of God because Paul's ministry was an unprophesied era. That is true. I'm with you there, Stan. That's a good comment. But this comment I have a real problem with. I hope it goes another 2,000 years. I hope it goes another 2,000 years. Why not let others enjoy the grace that has been given to us? The problem is that the ratio stinks, Stan. The ratio of those who are enjoying grace now and those for whom the world is a pit of torture, demoralization, sin, death, and anguish is way out of proportion. The ratio is horrible. The ratio is 1 billion to 1. About literally. 1 billion to 1. About literally. I see your heart, Stan. You know, I see your heart, but you still must be living a good life because even those of us who do have grace and we do, quote, enjoy the grace given to us, life's not a bed of roses, my friend. We're not tiptoeing through the tulips. You must be, honestly, you must be tiptoeing through the tulips so you can even say this. And you want it to go on for another 2,000 years. That is cruel. That's a cruel statement, my friend. That is a cruel statement. I can't let you get away with it. It angers me, honestly. I'm getting incensed right now that you hope that it goes on another 2,000 years. That's what you said. You hope it goes on another 2,000 years. That is really upsetting me. I think it's righteous indignation, because this is what you're hoping for. I have a few statistics written down here for you, Stan, and for the rest of my listeners. Every year, nearly 1.25 million people worldwide die in automobile crashes. Yes, 1.25 million people will die this year in car crashes. I want you to think of what a car crash entails. It entails impact, it entails horror, it entails bleeding, it entails head trauma, it entails neurological explosions, it entails dismemberment, it entails grieving families, it entails police coming to the scene with blood all over the place, it entails somebody's head over here, literally, and their body over there. My son knew, he had a friend in college who got in a car wreck and his car exploded and he died in flames, burned alive. His family had to have a funeral. The kid was 21 years old. You want that to happen 250? You want that to happen 80 million more times? Because that's, if you want this to go on for 2,000 more years, that's how many more fatal car accidents there will be, 80 million. And each one of them will involve trauma, blood, dismemberment, pain, death, sorrow, grieving, funerals, tombstones. You want more of that. That is problematic to me. That's sick. It's sick. I have a little article here, Stan. I don't know if you know about this. It's called Child Sexual Abuse. Every 9 minutes, Child Protective Services substantiates or finds evidence for a claim of child sexual abuse. Every 9 minutes. I don't even want to do the calculation for that. 25,000 people lose their lives every day as a result of hunger. This adds up to roughly 9.1 million people who die of starvation every year. That's 18 billion, 200 million more people starving. And you wish for it, Stan. You wish for that? You wish for 18 billion, 200 million people more. So you want 18 billion, 200 million people more to die of starvation, because that's how many more people will die of starvation if Christ tarries for another 2,000 years. Okay, let's say he does tarry for another 2,000 years. I don't want that on my conscience. Not that it would be, but I don't want to be on record as hoping for it, wishing for it. That's God's sovereign realm, dude. It's God's realm how many people die. Only God can handle being responsible for that many deaths from our end. We're not God. We can't sit here and say, I hope it goes on another 2,000 years so that 18 billion more people can die of starvation, or that so many more children can be sexually abused. There are 250,000 rapes every year. 250,000 rapes a year. You, Stan, want that to be multiplied by 2,000. It's okay with you, because apparently you've never gone through it. Apparently you don't know anybody who's ever been raped or killed or tortured or starved. Because if you did, you would look up to heaven and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But you're in the club. Please extend this wicked eon club. Please extend it. Why? Yes, we'll take 18 billion more people starving. We'll take 250,000 more rapes every year. We'll take a child being sexually abused every 9 minutes so that God can have time to bring in 1,000 more people. That ratio sucks. If that's the ratio God wants, then he'll get it. But it's not the ratio we're supposed to wish for. It's not what we're supposed to hope for. You're not God. I'm not God. Jesus, if I was God, I'd end this today. Okay, I'm not God. But then to say, on the other hand, that there's no prophecy telling us there's an end to these things, but forget that even. Okay, forget the prophecy. Let's look at the hearts of people in the scripture. I think of the Apostle John most readily here at the end of Revelation, where he says, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Paul, I'm going to end with this. Paul in Galatians 4, Galatians 1:4. Here's the era. It's not an era of grace. It's an era of the announcement of grace. It's an era of grace being spit on. This is the era when grace is hated. This is the era where God is hated. This is the era of rapes, starvation, mass murder, child sexual abuse, and people hating grace, and religions demeaning God with the doctrine of eternal torment, which is going on every day. Do you like that? Do you like that? Do you like that at every church today, the doctrine of eternal torment is going out? And every time it goes out, there's going to be another 100, 200 people believing it, going through their lives, being suffused now with guilt, thinking that God is going to send them to an eternity of torment, or people having nightmares, thinking of their dead children, their dead parents, their dead grandparents, who are now being tortured for eternity. That word is covering the earth. But God speaks of a time where the truth is going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea. That's the time I want to be here. That's the yearning of my heart. The yearning of my heart is for this to be over, for the deaths to stop, for sin to stop, for starvation to stop, for rape to stop, for car accidents to stop, and for the peace to begin, for the nations to learn about God. I want that to begin. Oh, do I want it to begin? Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who rouses him from among the dead, and all the brethren with me, to the ecclesia of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself for our sins, so that he might extricate us out of the present wicked aeon, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. I told you yesterday that it is in the eons to come he will get glory, and he will be displaying his grace. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, and now line it up with Galatians 1, verse 5, that God, to God be the glory for the eons of the eons. That's when he's going to get glory, and that's when grace is going to be dispensed. Big time. If you want grace, you want people to enjoy grace, Stan and Clyde, do you want people to enjoy grace? Let me be practical now. If you want people to enjoy grace, they're going to have to change your whole theological outlook, because that wish of yours is not happening now, and it won't happen now. In fact, the longer this goes, the worse it gets. Paul said that in 2 Timothy 3. In the last days, perilous periods will be present, and it's going to be increasingly wicked. So your wish, though noble, is misguided in thinking that this is the era for it. This is not the era for it. Paul calls it the present wicked aeon, and he talks about extricating us out of the present wicked aeon. Paul calls this wicked. This is not an era of grace. It's an era of wickedness. I repeat, this is not an era of grace. It is an era of wickedness. It is the era for an announcement of grace, but that grace is spit on in every corner of the world, even from the religious corner, especially from the religious corner. If you think the physical death is bad and the physical starving is bad, people having no food, what about the starvation for the Spirit of God? It's not going to get better. God doesn't need 2,000 more years to bring the last member of the body of Christ into the fold. For all I know, the last member is already brought in. And we should be happy to hear that. Good God Almighty, you should be happy to hear. You just watched a video of Matthew Holland and myself talking about how Christ could come in the year 2027 based on prophecy, based on scripture. I would expect you to say, as most people said in that comment section, this is wonderful. I'm going to look this up. This sounds right. You have scriptures. You're talking about Jubilee years. You're talking about the feast in Israel. You're talking about God's years, God's timing. You have verses, 2 Peter 3:8, a day is as a thousand years to God, a thousand years is a day. Jesus Christ always doing important things on the Jubilee, the number 120. That's really important to God. Wow, it's been 120 Jubilees since Adam. Wow, that's interesting. I wonder how that aligns with the number of Jubilees from the time of the first coming of Christ to his second coming. This is, you should be excited about this. Instead, well, this is terrible. I hope this isn't true. Well, let's hope. I hope that there's another 2,000 years of what? Sin, death, decay, murder, torture, starvation, rape, beheadings, decapitations, blood ambulances, undertakers, cemeteries, flowers at the funeral home. Is that what you want?